inn for a while. And so there are just people that are playing it safe right now. And I can't condemn that at all. You do what you have to do, what you feel comfortable. Some have health issues that the doctors have said you do not need to come in contact with the virus at all. It would be bad for you. So I'm very appreciative of those that can get out and are here this morning, but we really need to remember those that are going through some things like Dwayne and also the families that have tested positive, those that have been exposed to it. And then again, there's so many that would say, I just am going to stay home for however long that takes in order to feel safe to come back out again. You know, I don't know what this is really all about, this coronavirus. Will it be like the flu? Will it come and go? Will we need to get a shot down the road for it every fall? That remains to be seen right there. I'm going to give you a summary of Matthew chapter 24. We're going to finish it here in just a little bit this morning. I was going to go back into the book of Revelation where we left off. I have tried to do that. It's not happening. I'm taking it that God does not want me to go in that direction after I get through with a summary of Matthew chapter 24. So we're going to deal with Christians that are in the combat zone. And I don't know if you know it, but when you become a child of God, you step into the combat zone. And that combat zone gets very, very personal. You are a tremendous target for Satan, and it seems as to what is going on in the world today with all the riots that are taking place, with all of the hatred towards Christianity, those that are very much anti-God. I'm not going to get in politics. You've heard me speak a little bit on that. But I am going to say this, that I am thoroughly convinced that's what's taking place today in our world is simply spiritual warfare. And we need to understand what spiritual warfare is, what it is all about, and how to be the soldier that Jesus asked us to be while we are in the combat zone. But I want you to listen very carefully. This is kind of pointed this morning, but it won't hurt long. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. It is a day of thanksgiving. It is a day of praise. It is a day of adoration unto you, even though to us things are not looking very good. But we know that you have your plan. You have your agenda. Thank goodness for it. It is being carried out. Nothing is going to stop it ever. We pray for Lucy and we pray for Dwayne, especially for Lucy this morning. There are about three doctors, as you well know, working with her. This doesn't look good, but we know it's all in your hands. We know her time has been designated and allotted here on earth. We still ask that by a miracle or by wisdom from above given to the doctors here below, that you would bring her to recovery, bring her health back to her. Father, if that is not your blessed will, we pray that you will give Dwayne peace and comfort during this time. Give Lucy the peace and comfort, Lord, that your will is going to be done. And if she is called home, she'll go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so thankful for that. But please help Dwayne through this day. It is very difficult and hard with him and upon him. So we pray that you give him peace that passes all human understanding. Father, we pray for Chad during this time. It is a hard time. Lord, pray for a lot of patients when you have to stay in the house for so many days. Pray for Jessica and Chris and the family. The same for them, the patients, to endure this and go through it. Pray for Jim Clay and Anna. People had to leave. Father, I just pray for them. I pray for all that have physical issues and that coronavirus is more of a threat to them than others. We want to pray for them that you'll give them strength, Lord, to go through what is ahead of them. Father, we just pray for this church. We are thankful for those that are able to get out this morning. We pray that you will spiritually enlighten us as we will know exactly what we need to do during this time. We are in the combat zone as Christians of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will know how to speak to people during this time and be an encouragement to people, and how to be the salt and light that you are asking us to be. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. We are going to get through this, and we're going to be the better for it. And the lessons we will learn from it, help us to make application in the days ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, let's look at your printout this morning as we begin. You'll notice it is really a wrap-up of Matthew chapter 24. You'll notice the title, How Should We as Christians, as Believers in Jesus Christ, Respond to the Perilous Times That Shall Come? They are going to come. It's not if, but it is yes, they are going to come. So how are we going to deal with these perilous times that we are not going to escape, but we are going to be in the midst of them? Well, let's begin with the introduction. We are living in a generation that faces threats that no recent generation has ever known. As always, the Holy Spirit was correct in what He was trying to tell us. Let's begin with a question here. How should we, once again, as believers in Jesus Christ, respond to all of these perilous times? I'll give you some words before we actually turn to Ephesians chapter 6. The first word is prayer. If you're not praying, get to praying. If you're not praying, learn how to pray. Number two, the second word is worship. Be sure you don't dodge worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship is important. I hope you will grow in intimacy as you worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there is godly activity. We must continue being involved in godly activity. The fourth thing is stay strong in the Lord. Stay strong in the Lord. And then the last thing is put on the full armor that God has provided. Put on the full armor that God has provided. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. We've read this before. We will continue to read it again and again. It is that important. In fact, it is a necessity that we read this, that we understand it, and that we make application of it. This will depend on our success as Christians in the army of the Lord. It will depend upon our survival and the way we will look at what is coming and the way we will be able to help others. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from Him and be empowered through your union with Him and in the power of His boundless might. Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavenly armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against Tom. It's not against Jeff. It's not against Terry. It's not against Jim. I don't see a human name in what I am reading. Please notice that. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Now, I have written down some words, some points that you do not have. I have them in my notebook on notebook paper. And I want you to listen as I begin reading this. Number one, Satan has no conscience. He has no compassion. He has no remorse. He has no morals. He feeds on pain, anguish, and filth. Nothing in Satan is redeemable. Now let's look at number one, and you don't have that, but please listen. We as believers in Christ are in a spiritual battle, a battle in which there is no truce. There is no white flag to wave. When you battle Satan and his demonic army, and he tries to persuade you of a flag of truce, do not believe him. For he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is, and always has been, the father of lies. So in verse 12, Paul makes 3 points that we need to understand. First, the struggle is supernatural. Second, the struggle is personal. Look at the word wrestle. This word wrestle indicates a hand-to-hand fight, being locked in battle, sweat to sweat, breath against breath, up close and personal. Third, the struggle is futile if fought in and by our own flesh. Our enemies are such as no human power can withstand. We are involved in a cosmic superhuman battle in which conventional tactics, that is, evangelical lip service, will avail nothing. This calls for a deep soul conviction. Satan and his demonic evil servants move freely in creation. Whatever the exact designations of God's angels, and I want you to write Daniel chapter 10. And I want you to take the time to write down Daniel chapter 10 so you'll read that when you get home. You're going to read that an angel was sent from God, but he was delayed. How many days? 21 days. If you didn't hear from God in 21 days, would you think God did not hear your prayer? Would you think God was not going to answer your prayer? But remember, as you read in Daniel chapter 10, that the angel came from God with an answer to Daniel, but he was delayed for 21 days. Does God have designated angels? Yes, he does. Continue to listen. Whatever the exact designations of God's angels, there is a great demonic enemy with a defined and disciplined chain of command. The evil described here is terribly powerful. These demons are well schooled and well placed so as best to spread their evil cancer. All right, let's go back to the printout. Let's look at question number one. Should we stay in our houses? Should we close the blinds and hide from what's going on in the world today? How would you answer that? No, we must not. Number two, should we never fly on a plane again or take public transportation? Don't ever stop doing that. Number three, should we stop frequenting restaurants and other public places or stop attending large events such as movies, theatrical productions, and competitions in sports? I don't think so. What are we saying right here? I understand those with physical illnesses and disease that they do not need to come in contact with the coronavirus. But there are those of us that are healthy. And we that are healthy in Christ and healthy physically speaking, we must not stop any godly activity. We must continue in prayer, and we must continue in worship. We must continue meeting together. Hebrews chapter 10 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And I understand what that is saying in context, but I also understand today, we that can meet, we must meet. We can come and pray for others. We can come and worship the living God and draw our strength from Him and our encouragement to be more light and more salt when we leave this place. Sometimes soldiers are few, often because those that are around them, the other soldiers, they have been wounded in one way or another. But again, we that are healthy, we would throw their arm across our shoulders and say, I am here to help carry you. I am here to help pray for you. I am here to help you in any way that I can. And I pray by the strength of God and the grace of Almighty God that He will give me what is needed to be the soldier that I need to be to help my brother and sister in Jesus Christ get through this coronavirus and get through the scare that is out there. Let's go back to the printout. Number four, should we stop sending our children to public schools? Number five, should we respond in faith or in fear to these spirit-predicted truths and the external reality that continually faces us? Instead of retreating in fear, I'm not going to retreat in fear until I'm knocked completely down. And if that happens, I'm still going to fight it to get up and go by the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has not given you, He has not given me the spirit of fear. And therefore, I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live in the grace that God has bathed me in and live in the strength that is mine by the grace of Almighty God. Instead of retreating in fear, you and I must accept the challenge. What is this? It is a challenge. What are you going to do with it? Realize that this challenge has come from God. And if this challenge has come from God, then God will supply all the equipment that is necessary for you and I to be overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So instead of retreating in fear, you and I must accept the challenge. Did not Jesus Christ say that as a child of God, you would encounter times of diversity, times of trials, times of hardship? Well, brother, some of these easy worship services that are going on today in what they call the house of the living God, is it really doing us any good? Or should the real truth be coming out today that Christianity is not an easy path to travel? Christianity is a hardship. Christianity, Jesus says, was taking up the cross and following Him. And brother, that's not an easy thing to do. It is hard, it is difficult, it is wearisome, and it will put you down on your knees. But when you're down on your knees and you're praying to the living God, He can lift you up off your knees. So therefore, be who He has called you to be. Christianity is not easy. Christianity can be difficult from time to time. But guess what? It was difficult even for Jesus Christ. Nothing came easy. Not even the cross of Calvary came easy. He said, Lord, while in the garden, let this pass from me. And then what did He say? No way, Lord. I came for that very purpose, to carry the cross of Calvary, that I could save people from their sins and then be put in a tomb and raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God and sit up there at the right hand of God the Father until my Father says, go get our people. It's time for the rapture. And I assure you, if you walk and if you stand and if you fight like a soldier of the Lord, you will be greatly rewarded when you step before Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. You and I must accept the challenge. This is a challenge to step forward as Jesus did when He encountered the demon-possessed men of the Gadarenes. Listen, what terrified other people and made them retreat in fear is exactly what beckoned Jesus to action. What should this do? It is a call to action. It is a call to prayer. It is a call to worship. It is a call to stand in the power of Almighty God. What are you going to do with it? In this hour, we simply must not shrink back. The situation in today's world beckons you to action. This is a time for you to step forward and use the authority Jesus Christ gave you. Did you read that? You have the authority of the living God at your disposal. As a child of the living God, brother, what else do you want? The authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, get in the Word. Let your convictions run deep and deep and deep. Also, let that intimacy grow and grow, that you and I will have that close, intimate relationship. And you will have confidence in the authority of the living God that He has bestowed upon you. How many Christians today have authority and have confidence in that authority? All Christians have authority, and all Christians should have a godly confidence in a godly authority. This is the time to rise and shine as the church of the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to America, are the easy days behind us? Or is it time to get tough? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Amen? Thank you. It is a time for you to step forward and use the authority Jesus Christ gave you to bring deliverance. Are there some people that need a spiritual deliverance today in all of this mess? The answer is yes. Are you there? Are you now able? Do you have that confidence in the authority of Jesus Christ to bring deliverance? Listen, to bring freedom. How many are shackled today by fear? Jesus never meant for us to be shackled by anything, especially fear. Continue to listen. He gave us the authority to bring deliverance and freedom and peace to each place that the devil has tried to bring chaos, harm, and hurt. Are we looking at all of this as we should? Has God allowed it? Yes. Has He allowed Satan to work in it and through it? No doubt, to some extent. Is God going to work with the coronavirus? There is no doubt about it. It is during moments, during a time of crisis, that if we're really saved, it will be revealed. When you look at the Bible teaches if a child of God is really a child of God, there will be perseverance. Do we have that perseverance? God is calling upon you. Take that serious. What a privilege. What a privilege. I know this is something you don't hear in churches in America. What a privilege to suffer for Christ. What a privilege to do anything for the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Look what He has done for you. He's doing today and He will continue to do in the future. The best is yet to come. Keep it. There you go. It is a time for you and I to step forward together and use the authority Jesus Christ gave us to bring deliverance, freedom, and peace to each place that the devil has tried. If the devil brings chaos, harm, and hurt, cannot Jesus Christ take that away? The situation that exists in the world today is your opportunity. Is your opportunity. We have to learn how to look at things. If we're a child of God, behind everything I see physical is a spiritual. So what's the spiritual meaning behind the physical that I'm seeing today? How active is Satan in all of this? Whatever he is doing in his activity, I guarantee you God can smash it. God can take it out. And God can destroy it. And God can dissolve it. Amen. Thank you. I'll tell you what's just blowing a lot of us away. We thought we were just going to just what? Sing Kumbaya and walk down a Christian path and never be challenged. I'm just going to skip and sing. Here we go. And then all of a sudden when hell breaks loose and we get challenged and confronted, and God is allowing it for us to find out who we are in Jesus Christ, or are we out of Jesus Christ? Am I going to run in fear? Will I stand here? Have you forgotten the chapter of the heroes of faith? They did not run. Jesus did not run, or we wouldn't be here. How many soldiers are here to stand up and walk behind Jesus Christ and lead this church? I will. I'm not backing up. And whatever the cost, I'm not laying down. Somebody say, what's the matter, Terry, getting off this traditional stuff? I don't like tradition much. I like to stay fresh in Jesus Christ. I'll take the cross, tradition, the resurrection. I know all of that and why it came about. We may be like what's taking place in Washington in a Senate and a House. Maybe it needs to be shaken up. Back to the printout. The situation that exists in the world today is your opportunity to let the power and glory of God shine through you. When did the power and glory of God really shine through as you read the Bible? Was it during the easy times? No, it was during the hard times. What was it? The Red Sea opens up. The people of God walk through. And they saw the power of the living God. Brother, that's worth glorifying the living God. The Bible's full of the power of God. Amen. Point one, think of it. God has called you. Underline the word called. The word called means He has invited you because you couldn't invite yourself. He invited you. He initiated your conversion experience. God has called you. That'll put you on your knees. You called me? He called you? Didn't you know how many times I'd screw up? And you still called me? You went after me? You initiated my conversion experience? Rotten? Is that not enough to put you on your knees? And say, by the grace of God, I am here. God has called you and has empowered. Underline the word empowered. God has given you access. God has given you the right to divine enablement. What is His word? Divine enablement. What is His spirit? Divine enablement. Brother, He gave us access. He gave us the right to divine enablement. Is that not another reason to praise Him? Amen. Point one. Again, God has called you and has empowered you with His Word and His Holy Spirit to live victoriously for Him and to fulfill His purpose for your life in these last of the last days. So embrace the honor of being in His plan, determined to trust Him with your life, to be who He needs you to be in every moment of this prophetic season. Top of page two. Number two, I urge you to ask the Holy Spirit to open your hearts. Underline the word hearts. The word heart is defined as this: your human will, your mind, your emotions. and mind, which would be human reasoning, human understanding, and spiritual enlightenment. And to show you how you should respond to the information and truths contained in this book. Jesus prophesied it all with pinpoint accuracy. He did not speak these things to scare us, but rather to help prepare us so we could dodge the spiritual landmines that lie scattered over an end times landscape. Number three, dig deep into the scriptures. Stick with time-tested truth, regardless of trends in society, and allow the Holy Spirit, there's that word allow, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, there's Ephesians 5:18, with the power you need to overcome every obstacle. Is coronavirus an obstacle to overcome? Thank you. You are called and anointed for this end time season. So embrace that truth and charge forward in the power of the Spirit to shine the light of God's Word into an ever darkening world. Number four, God's Spirit has moved into your own human spirit and you have become the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know, underline the word know, it means do you not know this spiritual truth, this spiritual reality? That your body is a temple. Underline that word temple. The word temple means a divine dwelling place. A divine dwelling place. Secondly, the place of divine manifestation. Think about it for a moment. You are the temple of God. The work of God goes on in the temple. There's a divine, what? Manifestation of God. God is making himself known in you and through you. Listen closely. Everything done in faith and acted out through the body is temple work. Are you not the temple of God? Yes. Secondly, by spiritual bonding, all believers in Christ are described as temples of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this last thing. New covenant worship is not defined by an external ritual house of worship. Turn to John 4:24. John 4:24. Jesus is having a sharp discussion with a Samaritan woman. She has a lot of questions for Jesus like we all have today. Where do we worship? Have you ever asked somebody where they worship? I worship in Hainesville. I worship at Holly Lake, Hollybrook, First Baptist, Mineola. This church, that church. And Jesus was saying to her, actually, pretty soon, what the Jews consider worship a place and what you Samaritans consider a place of worship is about to be obsolete. God is spirit. The source of life, John chapter 4:24. Can you see a spirit? Or is a spirit invisible? Is invisible. God is spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. And those who worship him must worship him in a building? No. In spirit and in truth. So just because you walked in here this morning don't mean you worshiped. I appreciate this building more than you'll ever know. I appreciate its function and the privilege to be heated in the winter and cooled in the summer and to have chairs to sit in, because in India, we sit on a dirt floor. Jesus, are you telling me that when believers come to worship, don't get all excited about the building you're in? So what should I get excited about? In spirit. Human spirit. Has God invaded your human spirit in this service? Do you have the right heart attitude? Then look at truth. We're going to worship in spirit and in truth. Truth. Worship of God consistent with Scripture. You can't worship God any way you want. It won't work. Your worship has to be consistent with the Word of the living God. Here it is. Number two. Worship God through the Son, Jesus Christ. Brother, if you're on your lunch break, you can worship. If you're in your car, you can worship. If you're in the deer stand and it gets dull, you can worship. Don't ask God for a 12-point book. Wherever you are, in the custodian's closet, you can worship. Do you get the gist of it here? You can worship anywhere. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. And wherever you are, there is worship. So don't think you got to travel 50 miles to go to this labyrinth. Something that will just knock your socks off and knock your eyes out of your head. This is so beautiful. Surely God has got to be here. God says what? I am. I'm everywhere present. And if you're a child of God of mine, then you can get on your knees wherever, outside, anywhere, and we will worship. So he said, don't worry about Mount Gerizim. And to the Jews, don't worry about your temple. They're fixing to be obsolete. He says, you only worship me when you worship in spirit, where I, the living God, invade your human spirit and it puts you down on your knees and you say to me, I love you, I adore you, I thank you. You are everything to me and I am nothing. But I'm so glad you saved me by grace and now I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I come through the Son, Jesus Christ, to my Heavenly Father. And I did it in a custodial's closet. And God said, what a worship service. Do you not know, you do now, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Underline Holy Spirit. Why does he call the Holy Spirit? Well, the word holy is hagios in the Greek. And you know what hagios means? To be set apart for sacred use. Guess what? When the Holy Spirit comes into you at the moment of salvation, he begins transforming you. He begins to what? Do a work in you. He begins to set you apart for sacred service. Holy Spirit. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property. Identity politics, get over it, please. You were bought with a price because we were so downright rotten and dirty. And the blood of Jesus Christ washed you white as snow. What a miracle. To think that God, by His Spirit, now lives inside you. Now you have a new Lord and Master, and His name is Jesus. From this moment on, the Spirit of God will work in you and supernaturally energize you to fulfill God's will for your life. Everything will change for you as you do what? Yield, grow. Did you not know this is about like a third class condition? It means maybe you will, maybe you won't. It's up to you. For you, as you yield to His leadership in your life, and it's all going to change for the best. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for. We allow the challenges that You allow to overcloud what we should be thanking You for. Thank You for the challenge. It speaks volumes of who we are. Am I one that will persevere? What will I do? You know what I'll do. But I don't. Until I'm confronted by it. And where I need to be worked on, let it happen. You told us what's coming is not easy. And it's not going to get any better. I'm not preaching any doom, gloom stuff. I'm just preaching the Word of God. Christianity's been good in America, but we haven't really been challenged a whole lot here. Now it's coming. Are you ready? Are you going to fold up, quit? Or are you going to say, I'm ready for Your leadership, Lord. Let's go. Won't be easy, but you'll be glad you did it when it's all over. We love You, Lord. We love each other. We're here to help each other and carry each other and pray for each other, whatever it takes for this whole body to go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.